Craig never misses shows. Craig is always on. He never misses shows. I'll
Craig,
tell you that.
Craig rarely ever misses anything. That's
exactly.
Very true. And he joins us now here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our good buddy, our TSN hockey analyst, Craig Button. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good. Hey, Barkov heard it was going to be like minus 45 degrees out in Western Canada. So it's one of those, I'm going to stay in the sun in Florida and miss that Western Canada trip.
I like it. A
Craig,
personal
did you
thing.
Ever have a player, like, did you, I only saw it once where a guy was like, yeah, I got a bit of a chest cold. I can't go tonight. You were the GM. Did you ever, like, go down to the coach's office and say, what the hell's wrong with that guy? And you actually got, like, sniffles or something outrageous?
Yeah. We had that. It happened in the minors a few times, Jeff, when I was in Dallas with a few players. I'll keep the players nameless. But we did have a player that was playing for us. And he, and literally, this is what he said. He goes, I'm not really feeling so good. And the coach said to him, he goes, well, I'm not feeling so good either. Does that mean I can't coach tonight? He goes, it's different. You don't have to play. And let me tell you this. He was in his first year in the minors. He was in his first year in the minors. I don't think that kid played for another 17 games. He got to sit out and just sit back and do nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a pretty quick message, I would think, to management. Just not, yeah. Not feeling it tonight. But
I can't believe that he came back, but you don't have to play. He didn't. The coach says to him, well, I'm not feeling good. He didn't even get the message. Yeah, but you don't have to play.
Yeah, well, I guess he was being literal when he had that response, but it's probably not the answer the coach or
Craig,
you were looking
you're
for.
In Calgary. What do you think the reaction for Tkachuk is tonight?
I think at the beginning, they'll put up a video out there for him, a nice little video, and I think they'll be polite. And then after that, they'll boo him every time he touches the puck.
Yep.
I mean, it'll be civil like that. You know, it's funny. I was watching the game last night, and I'm thinking about poor Matthew. I mean, every time he's on a team that gets a lead against the Oilers the last 4 months, that he end up losing the game. And, you know, he can put his hand to his ear. I can only say this. The Edmonton Oilers fans don't hear him. They didn't hear from him last year in the playoffs.
Right.
Against them.
No
so,
kidding.
I'm not so sure he had the last say last night. It seems to me Edmonton had another laugh on Matthew. And I love Matthew. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to jump on Matthew. But, no, bottom line is, That was a messy series last year, and then they lose again last night.
Yeah, it was. It was, and I mean, we were talking about Florida really not off to a great start. The Rangers on the other side of it, in the Metro, not off to a great start. I mean, it's not early anymore, is it, Craig? Like you can't use the U.S. Thanksgiving as the line, and then we get past that, and you apply the early excuse to teams that don't want to hear it. I mean, we're well into the season at this point.
Yeah, well, you know, I was listening to Dale Sutter yesterday talk about, like, you know, we're not scoring. Yeah, they aren't. They're not paying the price. Jeff and I talked about it last night on That's Hockey. And then they're simply not ready to get a little bit dirty. Forget about you want to get any little bit of dirt under their fingernails. So like, you're not going to score there. Rangers blew another lead. They blew it Saturday. They blew it last night against New Jersey. You know, I love what Shesterkin said. He said the goalie wasn't very good. In fact, he used even stronger words than that. And, you know, right now the Rangers look like they're reeling. The Calgary Flames don't look like they can find their game. Like, it looks like they're trying to play a good defensive game and trying to find their way offensively, but there's not a lot of – I don't see a lot of drive in Calgary's game in and around the offensive net. And, you know, for the New York Rangers, if you look at their forwards – they have four forwards that are contributing, and the rest of them aren't giving them very much in any regard. I mean, it's one thing to have a lead, well, then the other player's got to get out there and help you, you know, sustain that lead. They're not doing that either, and then other guys just aren't scoring. It's kind of messy out there in New York right now.
Yeah.
Craig, I don't know if you've ever met with players individually for performance reasons. I knew that if I had to go meet Jimmy Rutherford or John Ferguson, it was not a good thing individually. How far away in Calgary with Huberto, the way he's playing, would he be from one of those meetings? Because he is doing nothing out there. And I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, he's pissed off that Florida did that or whatever, but it's just, it ain't happening. And he ain't moving and he ain't doing nothing. How far away would he be from, if you acquired him and gave him the money, just saying, it's time to get your head out of your rear end here.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, and you touched on it again last night on That's Hockey, one of the best That's Hockey ever produced and performed on for everybody listening.
It was,
if you
wanted
to watch the rerun, it was unbelievable. Anyway, Jeff, you nailed it. Put on your work boots and get to work. Jimmy Playfair always used to say, hey, listen, you know what? Those work boots, lace them up and get working. And that's what Huberdeau has to do. He looks hesitant. He looks unsure of himself. Well, okay, so then you're unsure of yourself with the puck. Get working then. Get jamming and driving and doing some of those things. And, I mean, $84 million, if that gets a player mad after he's getting traded, geez, I'd hate to see what makes him happy, with respect to Huberdeau. Jeff, I always felt that when there was a time to talk to a player, and there's those moments, I always wanted to do it on the player's turf. I'd always say, hey, listen, let's go have a coffee somewhere. Where do you have coffee in the morning? Or, do you want to go have breakfast? Where do you have lunch or whatever? I always wanted to try to reassure a player, hey, you're a good player. What are the things you need to do to be a good player? And try to give them a little bit of positive reinforcement in those moments. I never felt like when a player isn't going good, I don't think you have to tell a player he's not going good. I think you have to remind them. And so I never felt that it was, in the best interest to have a player have to hear from me on my turf. I always wanted to talk to them on their turf and everything. So that was just my methodology. But, I think that, it was more when players or people, whoever was around you, it was more when you knew they could give more or they were being, lackadaisical or whatnot, that you would kind of just try to snap them. Hey, you're better than that. Be better. And that might just be a quick little comment as you're passing them in a hallway, right? But in the serious matters, I think that, like with Huberdeau now, I think it's about sitting down with him and trying to, let him know, hey, listen, there's areas you got to be better in and we expect you to be better. But that's how I would always approach it.
With Greg Button here on Overdrive. So the Leafs win again last night. That's 4-0 on the road. Mitch Marner with points in 17 straight. I saw you go off script on that award-winning That's Hockey last night, Craig, talking about his year back in junior and what the Hunters had him going through. And, man, is he playing well. And I'm curious, in late November, where he ranks for you in terms of impact players around the league. And if there was a Hart Trophy to be handed out 20 games in, is he in the top 10 for you, top 5? I mean, how well is he playing, in your opinion, and what is he bringing to the Leafs?
Well, let's look at everything he's done. First of all, they're undefeated since Morgan Riley went down. So they're shorthanded on the blue line. And all Mitch Marner has done is help them win through those games. He's not the only one, but he certainly led the way. 17-game point streak is pretty significant. So when you look at, you put those things combined, and we're not talking about a player that hasn't been good in the National Hockey League. Certainly the first team all-star right winger speaks volumes. Right now, top five. He gets a top five vote for me for MVP. I mean, bottom line, when you're shorthanded, and they split him and Matthews up, and he just kept saying, okay, fine, I'll just keep going. If I'm John Tavares, I'm subtly going, geez, I love playing with Mitch.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to keep playing with Mitch. And Austin Matthews is probably going, me and Willie are going pretty good, but Mitch is one of those players to me that just does so many things to help everybody else and the team. If that doesn't scream most valuable player, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it should be getting more noise. I mean, it doesn't matter because the Hart doesn't get handed out in November.
Yeah.
It doesn't. But the fact that the Leafs are so depleted, on the back end, their goalies have been out. Marner's been phenomenal. And what's interesting with Nylander is I wonder if Keefe looks at it, because we keep focusing on Matthews. I mentioned these stats earlier, Craig, that through the month of November, the Leafs have played 14 games. Nylander's got 15 points in 14 games. 9 of those points are goals. And only 2 of those 14 games did he go without a point. So at what point, if you're Keefe, do you look at it and say, I don't want to take Matthews away from Willie? Because Willie's flying. Like, why would I mess with what Willie's bringing to the table right now?
Yeah, I agree with you, Brian. And so let's take it one step further. I think this serves the Maple Leafs so well going into the playoffs. You know, teams are going to throw different things at you. And now for Sheldon to know that he has a couple of duos that can work well together, he can switch it up however he wants to. More, just as importantly, those players are comfortable now moving around a little bit. I think that's a real advantage for the Toronto Maple Leafs going forward.
I also think, you know, if you throw in something too, Craig, is I think it was important for, like, the start of John Tavares to keep him rolling. And, you know, talk coming into the season, whether it was fair or unfair, you know, expectations were a little bit lower. And to me, he's had a fantastic, been one of the most consistent, outside of Mitch Marner, I think he's been one of the most consistent performers for the Leafs. So instead of being a secondary support guy, you've kept him chugging and keep him rolling along. And I think Marner's a big part of that too, giving him the looks. And, you know, Willie and Matthews have chemistry, but I think it was Marner being added to Tavares is keeping him consistent rolling to that production. And I think it's really important to have Tavares out behind Matthews producing night in and night out. He's very important to the team.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know, just the way you described John, I mean, we know that John's been a really good, consistent player over the course of his career. But, you know, regardless, I mean, that's the one thing I think you can always rely on from John Tavares. Whatever level he's at, and obviously he's not the same player today that he was at 24, although he's not far off of it, is that you know you're going to get that consistent best production effort out of John Tavares, and that's a really, really positive thing. And I agree with you, Jamie, that, you know, if you're playing with Mitch Marner, you got to take advantage of Mitch Marner's immense skills. John Tavares is doing exactly that.
Craig, so they get Timmins. Why don't you just tell us how this plays out with this guy? Is this a bunting situation? Is this guy probably going to be in the, like, just... I remember him in Buffalo at the juniors, and he was a flat-out stud. That was a long time ago. What goes on here with this transaction?
Jeff, he's played 105 games in the previous four seasons and this year total. He doesn't have any games under his belt. His development because of injury has stagnated. And, you know, it's great that they make the trade for him, but how are you going to get him into the lineup? How are you going to get him playing?
Why isn't he in the minors then playing?
Well, the theory is that he'll get claimed on waivers. Well, all I know is this. That's the theory, right? But, like, a player that's played 105 games that you know needs games. You know needs games to try to find his game. Because you're right, Jeff, he did have lots of potential. But he needs to find that game, and he needs to find confidence in his game. He's not doing it sitting in the stands. And so now he gets traded, and now maybe he gets picked up on waivers. But at the end of the day, if he doesn't play, I don't know how he's going to develop and help any team, let alone the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then you're going to expect the player to just jump in and having only played that number of games in the last four-plus seasons and expect him to help? I don't see it. I really don't see it. I think if I'm Connor Timmins' agent, I'm saying, like, put him on waivers. If he gets picked up and you lose him, too bad. Too bad. You know what? We need him to play. We need him playing, not sitting up in the stands. I'll tell you what it's starting to reek like. It's starting to reek like the Frankie Corrado, Justin Hall situation. And I'm not trying to say that, but players need to play.
Look what happened to Frankie. He ended up in TSN radio with us.
I think that's fine.
That's a win. Isn't that a win?
Borderline up.
Yeah, I'm just saying, he ended up with us.
He aspired to that, Jeff. That was his ultimate goal.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, it sounds like Connor Timmins will likely make his Leaf debut tomorrow. But, in terms of the success of the team and the amount of wins, you got to bring up the goaltending and Matt Murray and what he's managed to do. There's another guy. A lot like, look, what you just said about Timmins, you could almost apply it to Murray. You know, he had established himself as an NHL player, but he hasn't played in 2 years. And, you know, it could not have started any worse. I feel like I'm saying that every other day, but it really could not have with him immediately going on IR. But, you know, he's had, what, 7 starts since his return, 6 starts since his return. His numbers are off the charts. And he looks big. He looks comfortable. He looks confident. Like, he looks like the real deal right now.
And you know what else? I don't know if Jeff and and Jamie and you, Brian, have noticed it. He also looks combative. He looks like he's in there fighting, and he's gonna, you know, he's not gonna take anything from anybody. And you know, I think a big part of goaltending is being defiant. And he, you know, and I think he's been defiant, looked comfortable, stretching out the way you need to as a goaltender, not favoring anything. And I think we know that Matt Murray, when he's played well, is a really good goaltender. That goes without saying. But he's showing that. And you're right, Brian. You know, you come out the way he did, all the questioning about his injuries, and legitimate questions, you know, considering his injury history. And then he gets hurt, but he's come back. And at a time when they needed really good goaltending, he has absolutely provided it in a big way.
You know, I was going to add on to that, Hayes. You said he looks really big. I don't see anybody complaining about his gear. Remember last year in the playoffs, Vasilevsky was like, everyone's like, his gear is oversized. Matt Murray's, what, 170 pounds?
Yeah,
he looks like he's 300 pounds in the net.
He looks massive.
The gear, but he's the one thing I've loved about his game is it's quiet. Like, you know, Craig, you just said he's combative in the net. When he gets scrambling, he just battles for pucks. But how many times yesterday did you see the puck just hit him in the crest? And just, yep, like calm, cool, control the rebound. Like, that's what I know. When he was at his best in Ottawa, which wasn't a lot, but when he was playing well and in a groove, it was a quiet game because he used
his
size.
I like
to his
Doodles.
When
he scrambles for pucks, he stands back up. That's my favorite part.
He stands back up.
No, like he doesn't leave the ice. He doesn't call for the stretcher. He doesn't call for the trainer. He scrambles,
yeah. Yeah,
and then he gets
playing.
Back. He gets back up every time. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. No, it's,
he's played well.
That's the truth. Like
he's earned it.
I made a mental note of something that it was nothing, but he smothered a puck in traffic last night with like swag, and I was like, okay, that's interesting. Like it was. Just little things like that. We're like, this guy.
Interesting, and you like that.
I do. I was like, all right.
He's
like, I'll take that, and then go ahead, drop it over there. Like, it was kind of just routine. I'm like, it's okay. He looks like he's in the mood to play, you know, and that goes a long way. What do you make of the Vancouver Canucks? Admittedly, I have written them off every day of the year.
Won.
All they did, now they're winning games. Like, are they legitimately back into this, in your opinion, Craig, or what?
Well, they are. Because Calgary's like not playing all that well. Edmonton's not playing that well. You look at the wild card in the Western Conference. St. Louis isn't playing that well. Minnesota isn't playing that well. So there's a path. I mean, obviously Seattle and Vegas are, you know, at the top of the division. LA's kind of put themselves in that kind of layer above those teams. But, you know, I thought, write them off. But when other teams around you flounder and then you get on a winning streak, you can get back in it. And there it is. There's Bruce. Bruce, there it is. Bruce, there it is. I mean, they have lots of firepower. I believe they just got to go play with their strength, and that's offense. And Spencer Martin's come in and played really nicely. You know, the Demko's struggled a little bit, or maybe not played at the same level that he did last year. But bottom line is Spencer Martin's come in and played really nicely. And here's the Canucks now kind of finding their way back into the hunt. And they're right there when you look at the Western Conference wildcard situation.
Yeah, they sure are. Well, listen, good for Bruce Boudreau. We'll see what happens out there in Vancouver. It's going to be a fun one tonight in Calgary, so enjoy that game. Craig, we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
We will, and I'm surprised you guys weren't Vladdy Jr. at the plate. I gave you a batting practice fastball with Jamie. It was a batting practice fastball for you when we talk about meeting on your turf. You didn't ask me where I met you. It was always in the movie theater, and you bought popcorn.
That's
well,
right.
There's nothing wrong with that, but you had to give me heck once a week all the time. So I'm
yeah, he didn't pick up on the cues. He just thought you were his buddy, Craig.
Yeah, I just thought you wanted to go see movies.
Thanks, Craig.
Okay, see you guys.
There's Craig Button joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.